Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, we look ahead to the readings for this coming Sunday, which is the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. And before I take a look at those readings, let me just once again ask you this question. A couple of weeks ago, I said something on this program, the Sunday program. I said something about making sure that you gave yourself or did something in particular on the Sabbath day to honor the Sabbath. And I mentioned how we used to have, stores were closed on Sunday. The streets were quiet on Sunday. People might come out for a walk later on, but mainly it was a day of quiet and peace and family gathering. You could gather, but it was a day of quiet, a day to put aside all the busy things of the week and to honor the Lord. That's what God asks of us. Keep holy the Sabbath. And holy means to be set apart, that this day is different than the other 6 days of the week. Now, I don't want you to get scrupulous here, and I don't want you to get nervous about it. I just simply want you to look at it. Is there a particular way you honor the Lord on the Sabbath? You personally, or you as a family? Some families have taken time on a Sunday to pray the rosary together. Some families have taken time, or friends gathering, have taken time to share their lives and to ask for prayer from one another. Or they get together to celebrate something good that God has done for one of their friends or their family members, that the Lord's Day is a wonderful day to thank God for giving you this gift or that gift. Make Sunday, some Sundays can simply be quiet, just you at home and extra time for prayer. God knows we need it. But I'm also trying to expand it because many times as a family, or if you're not living alone and you have other guests in your home, you don't want to say, well, we do this at this time. It's a day of opening the door to God and opening the door to friends, perhaps. It's a day that's marked. It's different than the other 6 days of the week. Let's just see, by your own originality, what you could do. And I'd love to hear from you when you decide. It might be a year from now. That's all right. But take some time to say, what does the Lord want us as a family or as a group of friends? Or what does the Lord want of me as an individual if I'm alone? How should my Sunday be marked as different from the other days, even if I have to work on a Sunday? Even if that's part of my job and I need to go to work, there's still room. How do I treat this day? How do I give God honor and glory? It can just be by my intention. It can be a decade of the rosary. It can be 15 minutes spent extra in scripture. It could be any of those things, or it could be meeting the needs of the poor right in your own neighborhood, as I mentioned before. Or the elderly, visiting those confined to homes is a wonderful way, is something to do on the Sabbath to honor the Lord in a particular way. So take some time to think and consider, and I would love to hear from you. Might be able to share it with all my listeners if you have some particular thing that you do as a family. And the fruit that is born. I would like to hear from you. So for this Sunday, we read from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 35, verses 4 to 7. Thus says the Lord, say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong. Fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication. With divine recompense, he comes to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag, then the tongue of the mute will sing. Streams will burst forth in the desert, and rivers in the steppe. The burning sands will become pools and the thirsty ground springs of water. In other words, where things are dry and are barren, life will begin to come forth. And brothers and sisters, that can be in our own lives. Certainly what I was saying about the Sabbath is one example, but in some way saying to the Lord, Lord, I want to follow you more closely and introducing something to your life that orients you to God, daily orients you to God. I have a friend who I went to her office one day, and the door was closed, but I knew her, and I just kind of tapped on the door and opened the door, and she was on her knees. And I said, I'm sorry. And she said, no, join me. Every day, this is what I do at noon, just to thank God halfway through the day. It's a beautiful thing, a little thing, but it's a way of coming back to the center of acknowledging who I am living for and why I'm living and why I'm a disciple. So think about this. This beautiful passage from Isaiah says that the blind will see and the deaf will hear and the lame will leap and the tongue of the mute will sing. In other words, God will bring life into the desert of our lives. He'll bring living water into the deserts of our lives if we're willing to acknowledge him and give him his rightful place in our lives. Psalm 146, praise the Lord, my soul. Perhaps you want to pray that every day. Praise the Lord, my soul. The letter of James, chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. My brothers and sisters, show no partiality as you adhere to the faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. For if a man with gold rings and fine clothes comes into your assembly, and a poor person in shabby clothes also comes in, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes, and you say, oh, sit here, please, while you say to the poor one, stand over there, or sit at my feet, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil designs? Be nice to those that you know will be nice to you in return. How nice are you to the poor who can give you nothing in return? Very, very important questions to ask ourselves. Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, did not God choose those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he promised to those who love him? He promised to those who love him the eternal kingdom, to become an heir of the kingdom. Do you believe that? Do you live out of that reality? You should. Think about it. Pray about it. How can God occupy his rightful place in the busyness of my daily life? Make a couple, not a lot, make one or two concrete decisions. Let's see what God does. Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 31 to 37. Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee into the district of Decapolis. And people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him off by himself, away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ears and, spitting, touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, Ephrathah, that is, be opened. And immediately the man's ears were opened, his speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus ordered them not to tell anyone. But the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, he has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear, and he makes the mute speak. Several things here that we want to pay attention to. Jesus left the district. He went by way of Sidon. So he takes a detour and gets into the district of the Decapolis. And people bring to him, they see him right away, and they bring to him a man who's deaf, and because of that deafness also had a speech impediment, and begged him to lay his hand on him. So he took him off by himself away from the crowd. He didn't want the noise and the conversation of the crowd because he wanted to engage this man personally. He didn't just want to be the hand that walked by, touched him, and he was healed. And the man, you know, other than astonishment that he was healed, paid no more attention to the one who had made it possible. And so what Jesus wants to do here is he wants to take him by himself so he can make contact with him, so he can communicate with him, so they can look at one another eye to eye. And he put his finger into the man's ears and, spitting, touched his tongue. Might sound a little gross, but Jesus had a reason for it. It was very personal. And then he looked up to heaven and he groaned and he said, "Ephrathah," that is, "be opened." He only had to say one word, and it was done. Immediately, the man's ears were opened, his speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. Now, the question is, what did he do with it? Did he rejoice? Did he seek to follow the one who had healed him? We don't know. We don't hear that. But I would have to say that oftentimes, people ask for prayer, and rightly they should and can. We should ask our pastors. We should ask people close to us. We should ask with all of the ministries out there today, many of the wonderful ministries, having people pray with us is a very good thing to do and very right to do, asking for help. And that's that, as I said, that's a good. But what do we do with what we receive? First of all, do we go back to the one who prayed, and obviously to the Lord, and then to the person who was his instrument? Do we thank them? And then do we say, "Lord, in gratitude for your goodness to me, what would you have me do? I want to follow you more closely. I want to be nearer to you." How often do we ask somebody to pray and, "Oh yeah, that intention was answered. Oh yeah, I meant to tell you." And I understand that. I understand in the joy of the moment when a prayer gets answered, we don't think necessarily right away, "I should thank all these people." I understand that. But somewhere very close to that, we ought to be saying, "Lord, what would you have me do in gratitude? To you, Lord, what would you have me do in gratitude? And to whom would you want me to extend gratitude? Who were your instruments, your servants, on my behalf?" That's the kind of relationship that we need to have with God, to draw him close, to draw him very close to us, to be grateful to him, to be grateful to his servants, always. And when God answers prayer that you just asked directly of God, make sure you thank him. Offer the next time you go to Mass in thanksgiving for his goodness to you. There are so many ways we can render thanks to God directly, but certainly by rendering thanks to his disciples, we do in turn render thanks to God. Let your heart be a heart of gratitude. May God abundantly bless you. In these times in which we live, I want to make sure that you can access my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold. I want to encourage you, please, to get that booklet. You can have a free copy of it by calling 1-800-282-4789 or by going to our website, renewalministries.net, and just click on Bookstore. Please take the time to read it. May God bless you.